Well, you're very welcome to Bealton Cottage, and this is Sunday evening. Yesterday was my birthday, my 67th birthday. Wow, it feels good, that's all I can say. I feel very blessed to have got this far. So, something to celebrate. Yes, it definitely was. And Samhain's coming up, which is, of course, another celebration. But the weekend has been just grand. With my family, and just a really lovely time. So this is another in the End of Empire podcast. A lot has happened since I started these podcasts. A lot. I could talk for hours about the geopolitical situation. But I often feel that that is like a dead-end street to start talking about something like that, because everybody has different opinions, different politics, different views on the world. And I'm trying to address something which is universal. And I think that the very mention of empire is a universal theme that has carried on for thousands of years. We've had all the various empires, the empires in South America, the Aztec Empire, the Mayan Empire. We've had European empires, the Spanish one and the Roman Empire and the British Empire. We can go on and on and on. What is a certainty and what cannot be argued is that empires rise and empires fall. Life continues. The fall, of course, is really very much happening in the world in which many of us inhabit, and that is the Western world. Nothing goes on forever. And empires usually either come to an end quietly, which is very, very rare, or implode. And implode in a way that causes all kinds of fractions and all kinds of disturbances that affect many people. The people at the very centre of empire are usually affected the most. The people on the very edge of empires usually hardly notice much change at all, except when it comes to everyday commercial trading, which has gone on forever. Imports, exports, food, energy. The further away you are from the centre of the implosion, the less likely you are to feel the vibrations, sometimes mini earthquakes involved. Living in Ireland has always been the edge of empire, always. Not just politically, in terms of importance, geographically, definitely. Land distribution. It's a sort of an end, sort of an edge of empire place, because most people have some kind of link, usually a very strong link to the land. The land is owned by many. When you come closer and closer to the centre of empire, the land is owned by few. And old empires, that is empires that are older than, say, 150 or 200 years old, normally have a very concentrated ownership. So less people own more land. And you know, I've noticed that certainly in the Western world, that is Europe, the British Isles, America, the USA, Canada, Australia to a certain extent, New Zealand, there is, as the empire begins to lose its energy, lose its importance, the land is taken over more and more by fewer people, mainly because, you know, the old saying goes, you know, the best investment to make for ordinary people is bricks and mortar, i.e. home. And for those who've got more and more money, land. And we've seen this with fairly famous people, names I will not mention, because I'm not going down that path of name calling or naming political figures or anything. I've done that in the past to a certain extent. So those of you who are very familiar with this website will know what I think of these people who I call the suited and booted. You know, show me a politician who cares for real people in real circumstances, and I'll show you a fraud, usually. There are minor exceptions to that rule, I can assure you. These are my thoughts, by the way. These are my thoughts. And I've inhabited this beautiful earth for 67 years. And I've been a watcher and a listener and a thinker and an analyst. But most of all, I've been a kind of historian in that history fascinates me. I've no problem moving backwards and forwards through time and looking at how things begin and gather speed and end. That fascinates me. And all the while, the ordinary people keep on keeping on. That's why we're still here. We are still here not because of empire. We are still here because of who we are. We are human beings. And deeper than that, we are incredible, ancient souls having a human experience. It may be you believe that this is our only human experience, or it may be that we have multiple. I don't know. I'd love to know all these things, but I don't know. I can only imagine. So this End of Empire podcast is really focusing on the here and now. The here and now is changing with incredible speed. There's all kinds of events happening which are beginning to impinge upon us and our lives. This is what the end of empire means. You know, we all feel those vibrations. But if you can imagine the implosion being like a stone dropped into a still pond, and those rings of energy moving outwards and outwards and outwards until finally they've lost their energy. That's most of us. That's most of us on this fringe. The fringe is incredibly fertile. The fringe is perhaps one of the most self-sustaining parts of the entire world of empire. We're the ones who carry on. We're the ones who keep on keeping on. So see yourself very much as someone who's observing. You're seeing history play out in real time. And you know, over the years, as I've been writing this blog. I've been working on this website for, I really forget. It's more than 14 years, possibly 15, I don't know. It just seems such a long time. But I've observed what all this means, how all this comes together. And I've written many, many blogs on precisely this. I mean, the reality is that most of what we're now experiencing should have happened back in 2008. You can't keep on printing money. You can't keep on living off two-thirds of the world, which is what most of the Western world has done anyway, you know? And take comfort in the fact that we're only, what is it, about a third of the world? I know in terms of population, we're a lot less. But in terms of landmass, we're what, about a third of the world? I mean, for example, Africa is massive. Many, many people in Africa don't even have electricity. So to see the broader picture is very heartening, because human life endures, it just goes on. You know, yes, sometimes we have less, sometimes we have more, sometimes we have excess. Personally, I think we've been living excessively since about the late 70s. So what are we looking into now? We're just looking into real life, real history as it happens. None of us have the power to stop any of that. Those of us who have any realism will recognise that the power to change anything on a global scale lies in the hands of the few. So what we do is we change what we can change, which is our lives, our perspective, our environment, our homes, our way of looking at the world. And when we begin to see that, we realise life is good. Life is good. And as for the sudden collapse of everything, you know, dare I say something like nuclear war, we've been living with this kind of chaotic threat forever and a day. Our ancestors did. Even just in recent times. Like I had my grandfather and his three brothers all volunteered for the First World War. And one of my great uncles, one of my grandfather's brothers, Henry, he was just blown to bits in World War One. There wasn't even a body found. And what I'm saying by telling you this is that his world came to an end. Everyday people's worlds come to an end. We are very charmed to live in a world that continues to sustain us. For my own part, I'm very optimistic. I'm also very practical. I rely less and less on the big picture, So whether it's, you know, big banking, big politics, big pharma, whatever that is. And try more and more to live my own life in a world that is a positive place for me. But the end of empire is here. It's actually here. Life will continue. I see it as a time perhaps when we can get rid of some of the stuff that we don't need and concentrate on the things that make us happy, that bring joy. Like, I've just had a birthday weekend and it's been wonderful. There haven't been any huge presents or loads and loads of people, or we haven't gone out. Well, I tell you, we did actually go out as a family. We went walking. I had a breakfast this morning out, which was lovely. That was a treat. And then we walked in the woods down by Lochmela. And last night we brought a tiny little CD player. You know, one of those little handheld things. And plugged it in out in the barn. We played lots of music, Clannad and Enya and the Pogues. I love the Pogues. And we had a little bit of a fire in the fire pit. And it had been raining most of the day, so we put some plastic and some cushions on the little benches. And there was lots of good food. Everybody made something and brought food. Even my family who were coming down from Belfast brought cakes and food, and so I had very little to do. And I just felt so honoured to be able to stand out there by the fire, look up at this incredible night sky, because even though it had been raining for most of the day, somewhere around 6 o'clock, the skies cleared and we stood in awe of the night sky. We could see the Milky Way right above our heads. We could see the Pleiades. We could see little satellites moving overhead. We could see Venus and the plough and all these beautiful constellations. And it was so inspiring to know that here we stood on this little tiny speck, as it has been called, this little speck called Mother Earth, in the middle of the most incredible universe. That to this day cannot be defined as having a beginning or having an end. In fact, we're told that the Big Bang theory is now in question, and as for the end, the universe appears to be expanding. Imagine, as I speak, the universe is expanding. And here we are, on this tiny little planet, this beautiful little abundant blue, exquisitely perfect place in the universe. And what are we thinking about? We're thinking about men, suited and booted, who are juggling with what they think is the future. And it's silly. The end of empire is historically, on the one hand, a time of huge change, incredible optimism, because something which has been wrong or something which has been polluted is going and something new is coming. And again, I've written many times on this website about the age of Aquarius and the key word being change. Change for those who hold on to things is frightening. But change for those who have very little, like many of us, is incredibly exciting. Because it's like throwing all the balls up in the air and then seeing where they land. This is a time for us to reevaluate who we are, why we're here, what our journey is about, and look up into the heavens and realize that there's something far more powerful about just being here. We know very little. We think we know so much. And within arrogance, there is a sort of a prison. We imprison ourselves with arrogance. But when we clear the decks and imagine in our mind's eye this person, who we are, standing in this space, on this incredible piece of land, on this incredible earth, and we gaze up into the sky at night and we see into the vastness of it all. That connects us with something more than the to-ings and fro-ings of everyday life in this matrix which has been designed by powerful people who in many ways have been described as not like us. From my perspective, they don't have that deep sense of humanity, which is there in so many of the human race. You know, you see it. You see it in what people are prepared, the lengths that people are prepared to go to save something, you know, to save an animal from drowning, to put their lives at risk, to save a child who's going out in front of a car. You know, real people doing real things in real time. I'm very optimistic. I'm 67. I feel incredibly special to have got to this age. I feel incredibly enthusiastic about going forward. It's the only complaint I have is that our lives are short. They're very short. And I'd like to be able to keep this level of energy, keep this level of enthusiasm, keep this humorous way of looking at things. And I do that by realizing that I am that small person on that little piece of land, on this tiny speck called Mother Earth, gazing up into the universe. Because that's what my ancestors did. That's what your ancestors did. They knew the night sky intimately. They understood more than what we can ever know. And they didn't get to that level through religion or preachers or dogma or politicians or any of that. They got to that level of connection by simply being. So we go on. Blessings to you all. Thank you for staying with me on this long ramble. It's the way that I see things. It's the way that I live. It's the way that I speak. It's an eternal weaving of threads in and out. And somewhere in all that weaving, I hope I make sense. Blessings to you all.